You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Monday's edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. We'll be looking ahead to some of the action on Monday, which includes jump racing from Warwick and Sedgefield, as well as an all-weather meeting from Wolverhampton. We'll also be reflecting on a couple of the big races that took place over the weekend. My name is Lucy Hughes. I'm delighted to be joined by one of William Hill's racing experts, Will Smith. Will, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very kind of you to call me an expert. Lots of people probably would disagree with you, but nice to be here, thank you.
Have you been keeping busy?
Yeah, obviously watching the racing over the weekend, so there was some good stuff on show. It's one of those weekends, isn't it, where at this stage of the year everything kind of gears down after Christmas and New Year, and at some stage in February it gears back up again for Cheltenham and the Spring Festival, so it's that kind of January lull, isn't it? But there's still some good stuff to review and to go forward with.
I think on the previous podcast they spoke about the exciting wins from Global Citizen and Mr. Fisher.
Yep.
But we'll have a little chat about the Peter Marsh chase, and it went the way of a Sue Smith horse.
Yeah, she has an unbelievable record in the race. She has an unbelievable record with staying chases in general. And she did it again with Wakanda here. Danny Cook gets a great tune out of this particular horse. He tried to win the Roland Merrick at the third attempt on Boxing Day, having finished a close second the two previous years, but was beaten by Lakeview Lad on that occasion into fourth. Lakeview Lad's a horse who has won a race since then and will win some better races as well. So he clearly stepped forward quite markedly from that, and it was probably a case of actually a slightly unusual Peter Marsh, in that usually it's bottomless ground and you have one or two come clear in the home straight, and you know pretty much from the top of the straight which horses are going to fight out the finish. But actually there was probably five or six in line over the last couple of fences, wasn't there, which made for an interesting and nail-biting finale, but Danny Cook saved a little bit on Wakanda and managed to pull it out in the shadows of the post from the fast finishing Robinsfirth on the far side. I think he's probably the horse to take from the race, Robinsfirth, because he was reappearing off the back of a break, so I'm sure he'll come on for that run, and he might be found a target by the Tizards at maybe the Cheltenham Festival, maybe perhaps something before then, we'll see. But it was a competitive renewal, if not being vintage, I'd say.
It was a little bit of a messy race, I thought, to start with. And I don't know what you thought of One for Arthur's display, because he was a bit, I know he's a big price, but still you want to see him, former Grand National winner, run well.
Yeah, definitely. He was obviously, things went wrong on his seasonal debut at Aintree, didn't they, as well? He unseated on that occasion. So at some stage they'd like to see him complete a race, I'm sure, before Aintree, if they're going to go back there. You can't really try and go back and jump over the Grand National fences without completing a race that season. Obviously, he has the course experience, but horses are like people. You need a bit of confidence and you need to get the ball rolling with him. So it was a shame that he didn't finish off the race. His jumping was a little bit sketchy. Maybe when a horse has jumped the Grand National fences, they come back to the normal park fences. It's probably a different type of style of jumping. So maybe it's just a case of he's just got it so ingrained in his head now that he likes jumping those national fences, that maybe he needs to sort of get his mind off that particular gear. I don't know. We'll see where he turns up next, and then probably form a view after that.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what they do with him next.
Yep.
But that was the Peter Marsh chase, which went the way of Danny Cook and Sue Smith. Mm. One of the other big races was, of course, the Clarence House at Ascot.
Yep.
Altior, impressive again. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about the horse? He's, I don't know how many wins it is now in the spin, 17 or 18, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In its own right. Obviously, yesterday was probably his easiest task, for a good since his hurdling days, really. He did jump quite markedly left, which would be whether it's a worry or not. I think he had to make the running yesterday, which is something he's never really done before. So maybe sometimes when horses are given a different type of scenario, particularly when you're out in the open on your own, they can just have their own mind and their own way of doing things, and maybe that was just the case with him. I'd imagine going back to probably the game spirit at Newbury and then Cheltenham, the Champion Chase, I imagine going left, well, both of those courses, Newbury and Cheltenham, going left-handed will not be a problem at all, but back in amongst runners, he'll be fine. You know, I don't see that being an issue whatsoever, and it just proved that he was, you know, he has four legs and a pulse still, which is good, obviously.
Yes.
Him and
yeah.
Connections.
And we all like to challenge these horses when they're doing so well, don't we? What do you think about his campaign for next year? Do you think he will step up to 3 miles and give that a crack?
I think they'd like to. I think that certainly the owners would like to. That seems to be the conversations that the Nicky Henson has had. I think at this season, when they first started talking about it, it was probably a month to go before the King George, and it was probably all a little bit of a rush, I imagine, to Nicky Henson to think, well, suddenly I have a different plan mapped out to the one I had in my head. So maybe it was just a case of, okay, let's do this season, let's, you know, win another Queen Mother, go to Aintree, win there, maybe go to Punchestown or Sandown at the end of that, and then you can sort of take summer to take stock, really. And I mean, I'd love to see it, because he's so imperious, isn't he? And he seems to be, well, he used to be a horse that looked as if he would benefit from a step up in trip, because he'd hit a flat spot and then be strong at the line, and he's always strong at the line, but there's a scary thought that because of that tendency, could it be even better up in trip? But the King George is a fierce race, as we saw this year. It's a, you know, a race where you do have to have a cruising speed, which obviously Altior has, but you have to stay really, really well. So it would be fascinating to see if he could do it. And it sounds as if, all things being equal, they might give it a crack next year, which would be mouthwatering.
And it's interesting what Henderson said. It's a whole mile that you're having to change. Not unlike Frankel, where they're only talking about 2 furlongs up in trip. It's a whole mile. So
absolutely, yeah. And that's sort of, a lot of people always think, well, you can go to Kempton because it's an easy 3 miles. But in the King George, it's never an easy 3 miles, because they go hell for leather from Flagfall, and you just have to stay, as we saw this year. You know, it was Clando's Oboe who outstayed them, and the rest were out with the washing. You know, Native River, who's a very strong stayer, he could never quite go the pace around Kempton, and so he wasn't in touch to use his stamina. It's a fascinating proposition.
Mm. So that was a little wrap-up of the big races that took place over the weekend. We're going to turn our attention to some of Monday's action. Jump racing continues at Sedgefield and Warwick, and we're going to have a look at the 220 at Sedgefield.
Yeah.
Class 4 handicap chase over just short of 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
What do you like in this?
Yeah, so it's the racing tomorrow at Sedgefield is fairly low key, not some sort of class 4, class 5 handicaps, which are, you know, it wouldn't get your pulse racing as such, but I think there's one or two decent, hopefully, betting opportunities in there. The 220 race revolves around Briac for Tim Vaughan and Alan Johns. He won at Fosslass a week ago. That was real soft, heavy ground, which invariably it can be at Fosslast, and his best form for his previous trainer had come on real bottomless, heavy ground at Sandown. So I think that while he's on the same mark, because he's going over fences here and that win was over hurdles, I think there are reasons to take him on, because it won't be bottomless at Sedgefield by any stretch, and it's a couple of furlongs shorter. So while he is ahead of his handicap mark, I think there might be reasons to take him on. And I'm going to take him on with the bottom weight, Scorpo, which would be from a fairly unfashionable trainer, Victor Thompson. His form figures previous to his last race, if you'd have suggested to me that I would be tipping him next time out, I'd have looked at you in a very strange fashion. Because last time he was third to True Blue at Sedgefield over 2 miles, and it was much his best, well, the best piece of form in his 14 race career. And he looked at that stage as if he was crying out for a little bit of a step up in trip. I think the form of that race was okay. It was quite a well-backed horse of Evan Williams back in fourth. Castletown is a good horse of Pauline Robson's in second, and Scorpo stayed on to the line in third. And I think in respect to this particular race, it's probably an easier race, and it's up over a trip which he should be more comfortable at. And he's got an interesting jockey booking as well, Mr. Charlie Todd, who not many people would know a huge amount about. But he's taken some rides for sort of Ian Williams and a few other fairly shrewd trainers, so they wouldn't employ someone of a sort of £7 amateur, claiming amateur, if they didn't feel he was up to the task. So I think that's an interesting jockey booking for Scorpo in the 220.
And a small field, and as you said, bottom weight, so all to his advantage.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, beyond Briac, the rest of them are, you know, they are what they are in this particular grade, really, and I think Scorpo is the one that has at least a little bit of unexposed nature to him.
And the next race at Sedgefield is a 2.55. It's another Class 4 handicap, this time a hurdle, over 3 miles and 3 furlongs.
Yes.
What do you like in this, Will?
Yeah, it's a real stamina test, this race. It's a horse called Quick Pick of Jenny Candlish, who was a really lovely hurdler last season. He won a couple of times here at Sedgefield, over 2.5 miles on soft ground. And then he went and contested some fairly valuable handicaps. He went to Sandown on the weekend before the Cheltenham Festival for the EBF final there. Admittedly, he was quite well beaten. But he then ran a good third in the final of the Jack Berry House hurdle series that Sedgefield always put on, a sort of hurdle series with a final in the spring, and he finished a good third in that, and he looks like he's a horse who loves the place, and it's interesting that this is his first run back at Sedgefield since that run back in March of last year, and it comes off the back of a good run at Warwick over 3.2 miles last time out on New Year's Eve when he was third to his dream. He's got a mark of 1.15 actually, which is he's never actually won a handicap yet, but I think he can prove slightly better than that mark, granted a stamina test at a course that we know he goes really, really well at. It's got the right man on board as well, Sean Quinlan, who's having a great season, and Jenny Candlish is always a trainer to note when she sends a raider up north to Sedgefield. She has a decent strike rate up here.
Great, so Quick Pick is Will's selection in the 2.55 and Scorpo in the 2.20 at Sedgefield.
Yep.
Have you ever been? I've been told it's always cold at Sedgefield.
Well, it's in the northeast, which is a fair guess. No, I don't live too far away, actually. I live on the east end of Newcastle, so it's...
You're
one
well
of my,
acclimatised.
I do, yeah. I've been to Sedgefield many a time, actually. It's a lovely course. Real sort of locals track, lots of people who know the ins and outs of it, and a lot of people always go there and tell me to back Sue Smith, Runner's Blind, which is probably no bad thing really, but thankfully there's no Sue Smith horses in opposition of the two tips that I've given for Monday's racing.
Great, so Will, just to recap, Will goes for Scorpo in the 2.20 and Quick Pick in the 2.55 at Sedgefield. Thank you, Will, for joining us.
Cheers.
You can tune in to William Hill Racing Radio at 12.50 with John Gibby, Andy Holding and John Budden, who will be taking you through all of the action live on William Hill Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.